Good morning. Welcome back to The Word. My name is Mitchell Weber, and I am coming back from a hiatus for sure. I think the last episode was a couple hundred days ago, surprisingly. It's been a while, but I'm hoping to kind of revamp this whole podcast thing. If you've listened into the past episodes, I hope they were fruitful for you. Hope they were helpful. I know I had originally intended to potentially go through the entire book of Psalms, and after a lot of thinking and deliberation, I wanted to kind of go a different direction while still kind of including some of those topics here and there, and still working through it. But I realized I bit off a little bit too much than I can chew, and that's okay. I'll admit that. Sometimes we got to go back to that drawing board, but I thought I'd hop on here and kind of give an update as to what's kind of happened the last really year since this last episode. So for those of you who don't know, again, my name is Mitchell Weber. My wife, her name is Cora Weber. We recently graduated pharmacy school from Cedarville University School of Pharmacy back in May of 2023. We spent a large portion of that following summer studying for our boards for pharmacy school, and lo and behold, by the grace of God, we passed first try both our NAPLEX, which is the clinical think diagnoses, and then what do we do with medications type of exam. And that's about a 6-hour exam, couple hundred questions, and then we had the law exam 2 weeks later, Ohio law, and praise the Lord, we passed first try. That was fantastic. It was a blessing, and we were able to step right into our careers, which was amazing. Cora started working for Walgreens. She committed to a 2-year contract, and the Lord had opened up a door that I had mistakenly closed initially. But that was to actually become the school pharmacy fellow at Cedarville University School of Pharmacy. So I actually just finished up about 2 months ago, my first year of a 2-year contract there, and I've been loving it. Been loving to pour back into the students, getting involved back in the classroom and teaching this coming fall. Excuse me, I'll be coordinating an entire course. A little nervous, but praying through it. It's definitely a lot more behind the scenes work that I never would have thought really happened. And you don't really know that it goes on until you kind of get in there and get your hands dirty. So super grateful for that, and it truly has been a blessing just to pour back into the students and see them grow. It's been remarkable. But yeah, that's kind of where we're at right now. We are moving into the second year of our contracts, and we're looking ahead. You know, do I want to stay on, do full-time academia with a practice site on the side? Is Cora hoping to, you know, maybe move laterally to a different field of pharmacy? Do we want to move? Like, there's so many different pieces that we're thinking through and praying about, and we could use your guys' prayer too. We definitely need your prayer in that matter. Not easy, but it's the joys of adulthood, and it's exciting because we have a lot of we got some different options on the table in front of us. It's just being faithful to the Lord and seeing where He opens doors and closes them. So appreciate the prayers on that, but I think that's mainly it. We did, I guess I should touch on, we did get a puppy. Her name is Kita. She is a Catahoula leopard dog. She is mainly for cattle pushing, but being out here in Ohio, we're not really using her for that, and that's okay. But she is an excellent pup. We got her about 7 weeks old, and she's just grown so quick, so fast, and she's keeping us active. My goodness. This pup's got to go on a couple hour walks several times a day just to get that energy out, burn it out. That way, when it's time to wind down, she's ready to go to bed. But right now, I'm kind of training her in on pointing. She's kind of like a mix between a blue heeler or a blue tick heeler and a German short hair pointer But she's purebred Catahoula, fantastic dog, very sweet, very protective, really good at socialization. She's just all around a good addition to our little family here. But yeah, other than that, I think that is about it. We're chugging along. One of the more encouraging things I think that has probably happened while I've been at the school is just the amount that I've been able to kind of pour back into the students spiritually. And that was really my main focus and goal moving into the fellowship. And when I initially interviewed was, this is what I like to do. This is my vision. These are my goals. And it was cool to kind of hear that those were in line with what the school is already wanting to do. And then having the support and backing to do so. So I'm hoping this coming fall in my last year, of the fellowship that I can connect more with our class chaplains, have a scheduled meeting. Sounds like we're going to try and use several of the days throughout the fall semester, and I'm sure into the spring semester as well, where I'll be able to kind of get up in front of the school as a whole and work through some key foundational topics that I think are just absolutely critical for us as young pharmacists that are graduating from the curriculum. I don't have those in front of me right now. I wrote them down earlier, but I just don't remember what they were specifically. But I'm really looking forward to that, and I'm super excited. But I didn't want this just to be an update. I also wanted this to kind of be a time to lean into a topic that's just been on my heart quite a bit. And I'll admit I need to be cautious of my own heart and careful as well, because sometimes I get heated. if I can tell a quick story, my pops, bless his heart, he is and was thoroughly involved, or deeply involved, I should say, not thoroughly, in our town out in Colorado. He's still on several committees and boards, because he cares about the people, he cares about the town, he cares about things getting done well, getting things done right, and keeping people accountable. And that's one of the attributes that I'm glad gleaned from him, and I hope will take with me for the rest of my life. And I'm seeing it implemented now in my own life as I'm kind of doing the same things he is. But he's just so good about calling people out respectfully and making sure people are held accountable. At the end of the day, that's it. And that's the issue that's been on my heart recently. And the why I say I need to be cautious of my own heart sometimes what I want to say and how I go about saying it, it can come from a place of anger rather than from the spirit. And, you know, it's definitely not going to be helpful when I try and express my thoughts unfiltered, meaning unfiltered from the Holy Spirit, from the Bible, and me just spouting off whatever is in my heart. And that's not okay. That's not great. And I will be the first to admit that I am guilty of doing that sometimes. And I need to check myself. Thankfully, I've got wonderful people in my corner that'll pull me aside and say, "Hey, Mitch, what you said there probably wasn't the best." And it's a good learning opportunity. So I got to be careful. But I also want to emphasize the weight on this topic as well, and that really is Christian accountability. It's something I'd like to talk about and reinforce, or maybe introduce for the first time, that maybe you or somebody you know or places you know have strayed from. They don't practice it, or in our culture today, it's being viewed as hateful, judgmental, it's intolerant. That's maybe more outward looking towards the world, right? But I would maybe be a little too bold to say, but I'll say it, that it's starting to kind of creep in, and if maybe it already has kind of creeped into the church a little bit, is the idea that keeping each other accountable, if we're talking about a group of Bible believing, Christ proclaiming Christians, the accountability aspect and kind of calling each other out in a respectful biblical way is being viewed as intolerant, hateful, hate speech. And I kind of want to bring that up and just discuss some of that from a biblical standpoint, because my argument is it's not hateful, it's not intolerant, it's actually required and a necessity in our lives as Christians. And I think some good examples of that, and you're probably familiar with some of these. I'll just read some of the ones off that I have here. Proverbs 27:17, iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend, right? Another one, the Matthew 18 approach, moreover, if thy brother trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. And that goes on and on. James 5:16, confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that ye may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Another one, Ephesians 4:25, wherefore putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. This list, it goes on and on throughout Scripture. Here's another one actually I wanted to read, Ephesians 4:32, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Like, there's quite a bit of importance placed upon this, because it is necessary in the Christian life. In my opinion, again, maybe this is more Mitchell's opinion rather than stated fact, although I would like to think it's maybe more fact, is when you profess Christ as Lord and Savior of your life, you are repenting of your sins, that is enmity with God, disobeying God's law, you're breaking God's law, basically. When you confess Christ, you are welcoming in fellow Christians into your life, to speak into your life. And I was kind of chopping there, and I apologize, but you're allowing people, good Christian brothers and sisters, to speak into your life, is basically what I'm trying to say here. Now, many people might be smirking and grinning and maybe wincing a little bit at that, because, like, well, wait a minute, Mitchell, like, what about those people that, yeah, maybe they are Christians and they love Christ and they all this and that, but I don't know them. I don't trust them. Like, they don't know anything about me. Why should I let them dictate and say anything about my life? Why should I listen to their criticisms or their judgments? And I would caution that. And I would ask them, and maybe pose it back to them in this type of fashion. You know, if you were heading towards a cliff and you're driving a car at 65, 70 miles an hour and you didn't know it, for example, maybe you're looking off to the left at a nice waterfall, I don't know. But the person in your driver or in your passenger seat sees that you're about to drive off the cliff, or you're going to in just a few short seconds. Is it more unloving for them to just let the car go on off over the edge of the cliff to certain death? Or is it more loving to grab the wheel and swerve you guys into a different direction to where you guys survive? That's kind of the question I pose back. That's something that I think through. I think it's a good representation of that accountability aspect, like of allowing other people to speak into your life. You know, maybe it's not comfortable at first. It's likely not going to be comfortable at first, I should say. It's not. We as humans don't like it, don't like to be corrected. We don't. We want to be lords of our own life. We want to have our control over our own lives. We want to be in the driver's seat, but it's already right there, right? We see the issue of pride creeping in, saying, I've got this. I don't need anybody else's help. Far be it from me to say that I have control over my life. That's it's getting up there in my list of like true, genuine fears. I would much rather have Christ, the perfect one, in the driver's seat directing my life than me thinking I ever had any ounce of control ever at all. That's my take on it, if you will. And I think it's necessary. I've encountered some of the younger generation, and I've seen it where when I'm talking about this accountability piece, their immediate response is, well, you should develop rapport first. You need to get to know them, ask this certain question or these several questions. You need to meet with them X amount of time before you feel comfortable to accept some of their advice. And I get the initial concerns, right? I think, and maybe this is kind of where you can kind of see the flip side of the coin against my argument, is we do need to kind of take people's criticisms at times with maybe a little bit of grain of salt. Like, is this true? Is it sound? Are they coming at it from the right angle, or are they just doing this to bolster their own pride? They're spinning some sort of fable that's not even real. Like, you got to kind of think through this. You got to be a little careful with it. Like, I won't deny that fact at all. However, there are times where I would much rather someone that's looking into my life, maybe they don't know me super well, but they see that I'm doing something that just isn't right. I would hope that they would come and just rip me around and say, hey, watch out, right? And it comes back to this whole, the next point is, well, my emotions and my feelings. Like, oh, it's gonna really hurt my feelings if you do this, or, you know, if I call them out on this, it's gonna maybe tarnish our relationship and it's gonna ruin us. I mean, so be it, right? Like, if I see a fellow brother in sin and I choose to do nothing about it, how unloving and hateful can I, like, how hateful is that? Just think about how hateful I must be. And we don't think about that, right? Because we think it's more loving to not say anything because we don't want to hurt their feelings, their emotions. And yes, the Lord gave us emotions and feelings, but they're not something that should dictate our actions and in our course of action, like what we do with our lives and how we respond. They shouldn't dictate that. We need to be careful with those. So how do you, in this growing culture of like your feelings matter, your emotions matter, those trump everything, like how do you combat that? I don't know that I have a good answer yet, other than we need to be living out the Word of God and its truths and practicing these very things to a T. Like, we need to be setting the example. Starts at home, starts in the classroom, starts out in your work, you're at the grocery store, like anywhere. I think it's critical that people who are watching you that maybe you don't know that are watching you need to see that you are living different, that there's something different about you. Kind of a tangent, but again, that's kind of my thoughts on that accountability aspect. Maybe this isn't specifically applicable, but I finished reading through the book of Zechariah, not an in-depth study, but I was reading through it, and I came across chapter 8, verses 16 through 17, and this is what it says. I don't have the context here because I don't have it memorized per se. I really need to go back and read it. But here's what is being said in Zechariah chapter 8, verses 16 and 17. This is coming from the KJV. Verse 16. These are the things that ye shall do. Speak ye every man the truth to his neighbor. Execute the judgment of truth and peace in your gates. And let none of you imagine evil in your hearts against his neighbor, and love no false oath. For all these are things that I hate, saith the Lord. I find that pretty interesting. I mean, Zechariah, it seems, is speaking more towards maybe a nation, I think, and I think he is, if I'm not mistaken, just kind of briefly glancing back here. But I mean, it's plain as day. He says, speak every man the truth to his neighbor. Okay, well, don't lie. But also, don't stand idly by. You know, we need to be Christian men and women with conviction and resolve. And we cannot just be standing by on the sidelines worrying about how we might make somebody feel because we have a hard truth we need to tell them. Now, let's pause here for a second. I should have had this memorized because we're going here, but I don't. You can look it up on your own, and I'm sure you can find it. But it might be in Proverbs. A harsh word turns away a heart. I am doing this very ill here, but a soft word, I don't remember it. I could probably look it up real quick here. Let's just find that real quick. Should have done this in the first place here. All right, let's see here. Proverbs 15, it looks like. I don't know what translation. What is this? There it is. A soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. My goodness. Sorry about that. Okay. A soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. So in essence, what we're talking about here, and kind of what I wanted to tie back, is there's an improper and a proper way about kind of correcting a brother, sister in Christ, right? If I were to just go up to some random guy in my church and say, you know what, Bob, you are a horrible human being. You need to repent because I saw you do this at the store. I heard you say this. You're going to hell if you don't do this. Well, what kind of response do you think I'm gonna get from Bob? Or let's just not even say it's a member of our church. Let's just say it's some guy on the street. I said, hey, man, you believe in Christ? And if he says no, I'm like, well, you're going to hell. Okay, there's some people out there that might argue that is a perfectly acceptable way to go about, you know, like maybe like the shock and awe. You know, I'm not going to say that it's never a possibility. Sometimes people need that shock and awe. But there is a proper and improper way. Asking these specific questions, trying to get to maybe know them or figure out where they stand on what they would do with Jesus if you ask them that. But we cannot be standing idly by, weak, frail, and not have convictions and resolve. We need to be living by the word of God, and we need to be sharing the word of God. There's just no excuse for any Christian regarding that matter. Like, we just need to be doing those. And I'm raising my hand right now, and I'm not perfect at either one of those. I'm horrible at it sometimes. Praise God for repentance and grace. And I'm getting better day by day, but I'm not perfect at it. But it says in Zechariah 16:8-16, speak ye every man the truth to his neighbor. Speak the truth. Execute the judgment of truth and peace in your gates. Specifically referencing more to judges, for example. Make sure you're doing things right that are based off of truth. And then he moves into verse 17. Let none of you imagine evil in your hearts against his neighbor, and love no false oath, for these are the things that I hate, saith the Lord. Accountability, it's necessary, my friends, and it's hard. But that is how we overcome and weed out sin in our lives, is to bring it to light. Our enemy, the devil, wants us to seclude ourselves, to get us alone, to keep us in the dark, to hide things away as deep and as tight and as locked away as we possibly can. so that we isolate and we get separated from community. That's how he wins. That's how he gets you. Is separation from everybody else, everything else, gets you alone. You know, you're a terrible, dirty, rotten sinner. You sinned again. How on earth could anybody, how on earth could God love you and forgive you? That is what the devil is trying to do. And accountability brings these things to light. And albeit they are uncomfortable, but oh, to feel the comfort of bringing these things to the light and naming them and being rid of them and repenting of them and turning back to God, right? That's repentance. It is turning away from sin and turning to God. Accountability is necessary, and it's beautiful. It is fantastic. I'm looking for another mentor. I currently meet with one kind of off and on, and I plan to continue to meet with this same mentor as much and as often and as long as I can. They recently moved to a different church, and that's totally fine, but maybe another one that's a little closer and meet a little more regularly. But I cannot express to you in words, as hard as I try, just the pure joy and strength and building that happens when you get one-on-one with a fellow brother or sister in Christ, like for men of another brother in Christ, sister or woman, another woman in Christ. Like, it's just, there's just so much fruit. There's so much encouragement. There's so much growth that can happen there to just spur one another on. It is just remarkable, and it's fantastic. And I highly recommend, if you don't have one, get one. I strongly believe, right, this whole aspect, kind of idea of discipleship, right? If you don't have a mentor, get a mentor. Typically, it's going to be somebody older than you, but get a mentor. And at some point, I personally believe that somewhere down the road, definitely pray about it and think through it, but you need to be mentoring somebody as well. I have the opportunity to do that coming up here in the fall with several students, one specifically one-on-one, and I'm excited to do that. Can it be nerve-wracking sometime? Yeah, because I know I'm not perfect, but I know I'm saved by the one who's perfect. And that's where we can draw our wisdom and our knowledge and our peace from. Accountability. Study it, look into it. It's essential to the Christian life. I hope this was kind of helpful. I know I was kind of all over the place here with this episode, with the update and this little message, but trying to make it a little more raw instead of scripted. You know, I have some notes here that I try and look through, and sometimes I get jumbled up in them. So I do apologize. I'll try and get better at that. But I do have a good bit of content lined up here. I've got a notebook here. And I call it my analog notebook. It's kind of like my analog brain, if you will. So when I get these ideas, like, I just got a lot going on up here, you know, with pharmacy, the school, and all my other ideas for ministry and the school, just don't have enough space for it all the time. So sometimes what I'll do is I'll just write these ideas and paragraphs, you know, long documents, short thoughts, single words, scripture that comes to mind. I'll put it in my analog brain, which is this notebook. And I'll just let it kind of simmer and let it grow. And then I'll come back to it like, oh yeah. And then I can develop that idea further. So I've got quite a bit of that going on in this notebook that I have in front of me. So I'm excited to share that and work through some of that. Provide some more content for everybody here. But yeah, I really appreciate you joining this morning. As I hopefully kind of revamp this whole podcast thing that I've got going on here, I had a couple people, one more recently, a really, really good friend of mine. He's kind of put it in my ear a couple times now. hey, you still doing that podcast? I'm like, oh yeah, you know, I need to get back on that. So these little nudges here have been, they've been really helpful. So I hope this has been helpful. you know, I usually start in prayer and end in prayer, and I'll definitely end in prayer, but my prayer for this podcast is if I say anything that is not of God, not of the Word of God, that it just goes in one ear and out the other, right? If it's any of Mitchell's opinion that just is not scripturally supported, like, I don't want it to be a stumbling block for others. So definitely take what I say with a grain of salt, because I'm a fallible human and I can, make mistakes sometimes, and I do my best to line it up with the Word of God. So definitely take your own time to look into some of these things that we'll be talking about as well, because I'm growing like everybody else. I have not attained some level of perfection or wisdom or knowledge and that I have all the answers, but these are some of the things that I'm learning and that I'm thinking through, and this podcast is a way for me to kind of think through those things out loud with you guys. But I truly do appreciate you hopping on, joining in, listening. I think there's a way to review or leave comments or suggestions somehow. I'm not entirely sure. If you find out a way, leave me some. That would be fantastic. I'd love to hear back, to hear what you guys think and whatnot. But we'll go ahead and close out in prayer, and we'll see you next time. Father, we love you. We thank you for this beautiful morning. Pray that you just guide and direct us. Fill us with your Spirit, Lord. God, I pray that as we work through Scripture, situations that arise in our lives, Lord, would you just soften our hearts, open them up, open our ears and our eyes to your Word, Lord, that they're attentive and listening, and that it is sown in rich soil, Lord, that it just sprouts up and is fruitful, Lord, and that we take these same things and that we take them to the ends of the earth, to many that have never heard the Word, need to hear it one more time, Lord, to make the most important decision of their entire life, and that is believing in your Son, Jesus Christ, that he died on the cross for our sins, and that if you confess Christ with your mouth and believe in your heart that he is the Lord, that you will be saved. God, I pray that for everyone that's listening that's not saved, Lord, for those that are doubting their faith, that are struggling in it, Lord, I pray that you just give them confidence, Lord. Fill us with your Word, Lord. Help us to just sow it in our hearts and that it's on the forefront of our minds daily. God, we praise you. We give all the honor and glory to you. It's your Son's name we pray. Amen. Thank you guys again. Love you all. Appreciate y'all. Thank you for listening in on another episode of The Word with Mitchell Weber.